Welcome to Sunday morning worship from Zanesville Neighborhood Church. All are welcome to join Zanesville Neighborhood Church at our new location, the Trinity Presbyterian Campus on Military Road in Zanesville. Join us for worship every Sunday at 10 as we seek to love God, love neighbors, and make disciples together.
I do want to just take a moment and give thanks to God and testify to just the way that he's worked over the past few days and the opportunities that we've had as a church to join him in mission in this world. And just want to share with you about that because we've been talking about it the past few weeks leading up to this weekend. And I'll begin with Thursday. Traditionally in the church, Monday, Thursday, it's a day where the church around the world remembers Jesus' Last Supper with his disciples. That was, in our church, a day to go and be with our church at Willow Haven and have communion with them. Traditionally, Monday, Thursday is a day because Jesus had the Last Supper, and it was where he instituted the Lord's Supper. So it's a day in the church where we have the Lord's Supper together. And we did that with our great friends at Willow Haven, and we're able to preach the gospel there in song, in preaching. There was a crowd around. There's always a crowd around of nurses and helpers and such that got to hear the gospel and the good news. There's hurting people that come and get prayer and counsel, as there is every day, every Thursday at Willow Haven. That was part of our Monday Thursday, and it's a work that God has called us to as a church. Then we got to step into, on Thursday evening, this great partnership that God has called us into here on this campus. And we had joint worship services here, and Thursday was done pretty much exclusively by Trinity. We just got to be the beneficiaries of it. So we got to sit in the upstairs worship service, and they had a Monday-Thursday service followed by a Tenebrae service, shared the Lord's Supper by intinction, and it was just a lovely service of remembrance on that day. On Friday, Good Friday, we gathered for worship in the chapel at 7, also a joint worship service. It's a somber occasion, I said on Friday, the most somber Christian day for Christian worship in the entire year. So it's a somber worship occasion, but one that is so, so important and meaningful. We reflected together on Jesus' surrender, his suffering, and his death. We reflected how we as disciples are called to do the same, surrender, suffer, and die to ourselves, that we might live with Christ and for Christ. After that worship service, we preached the gospel with our deeds, and we served others in Jesus' name. And something that we'd been preparing for, you'd been hearing about, we went and egged yards, right? We egged yards, and Courtney had had a vision for this, and our church gathered and stuffed, you know, pitched in and stuffed eggs and did various things, and we had a couple carloads, and we went out and visited homes of kids, families that have kids with some special needs and cannot come to a traditional egg hunt or make it, it's very difficult to. So we took the egg hunt to them. After dark, Emma and I and Luke and Weston and Scott felt a little like trespassing at times, didn't it, Emma? But it was really, it did for me anyway. It was really serving others and putting eggs in people's yards at night, and then the families could wake up on Saturday. This was some, I don't know, 9 or 10 families. They wake up and have an egg hunt on Saturday morning. So we were thankful that God led us into that opportunity to preach the gospel through serving, and we did so. On Saturday, there was another opportunity to serve and to preach, and that was at Clay Gardens. And again, those of you who came and filled eggs a couple weeks ago, some of those eggs went to Clay Gardens, and there was ended up being around 500 eggs a part of that, and a big crowd. And our friend and partner at Clay Gardens Tuesday, who's the activities director there, her hope and her prayer and her vision was that this would feel like a celebration, that residents would have family come in and friends come in, and the kids that would come in would enjoy this egg hunt. And she was so hoping that that's how it would be, and it was. It was that. It was a fantastic Easter celebration. And they invite us to be a part of that. So Roxy and I did a 30-minute worship service, and I shared a version of the message I'm going to share with you in just a moment. And I'm going to tell you, it's the biggest crowd we've had in any of our Easter week things. There are about 90 people in the room, stuffed in that room, many of whom do not know Christ. So it was a real opportunity to proclaim the gospel in that setting. It was just a marvelous day at Clay yesterday. And then early this morning, finally, we just had a beautiful joint sunrise service out here in the outdoor worship area. And I've always thought, you may have heard me say this before, about that outdoor worship space. I've spent some time out there since we've been here, but my thought on that place has always been, this is such a lovely setting, but most of the time, there's so many distractions between the traffic on Military Road behind you, the traffic in front of you down through the trees on Maple, or the busyness and things like that most times of the week. But not at 7:30 on Sunday morning. There wasn't any traffic noise. So all you could hear was birds, and it was just a beautiful joint worship service. And getting to be, as I said this morning, out in the open air, and in some ways, you know, with our senses, trying to feel what it would have been like, you know, when I read this scene here in a moment from the Gospel of John, you know, being out in that setting. That's why we do sunrise services, so we can perhaps in some ways kind of put ourselves in the open air early in the morning and try to feel what it would have been like as much as we can. Again, just trying to soak it in as much as we can. So I just want to share all that with you. I know some of you have been a part of, all of you have been a part of parts of that, and it's we just thank God for the weekend that we've had celebrating and proclaiming Jesus. Here then, finally, is one more time and one more account for us to soak in this morning. And again, this is a version of what I shared with a really diverse crowd yesterday at Clay, a version of what I shared earlier this morning. This is from the Gospel of John. And I want to just read it first. And if you have a Bible in front of you, you can follow along, or you can just sit back and listen. It's John 20, verses 1 to 18. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. Now, of all that, focus your attention with me just in the few moments we have remaining. There's many things in that account that we could look at and just meditate on, and I invite you to do so today or later in the day or whenever. Just think about Mary for a moment and these last few verses, verses 16, 17, and 18. Jesus calls her name. She turns to him. There's a brief exchange, a very brief conversation that goes back and forth between them. I want us to think for just a moment about that back and forth. Christianity is sometimes regarded as an exclusive religion. That is, it's one that is set up in such a way that some are in and others are out. And to be sure, this is true in many ways. This is true. I mean, this is about accepting and following Jesus Christ. And so those who do not accept him and do not follow him, and in fact endlessly reject him, have chosen for themselves really to be out, to be excluded from Christ, to reject the offer, his offer of new life and abundant life and eternal life. So we ought not expect Christ to accept those who have repeatedly chosen not to accept him. But consider on this Resurrection Sunday also the great inclusiveness of Christianity and of the Christ himself. We find him including and welcoming all comers, all who would turn from sin and self and seek to follow him, not having a righteousness of their own or a moral perfection or even a moral goodness of their own, but who by simple faith would follow after him. Jesus displayed this inclusive welcome throughout his ministry. As you know, he welcomed and ate with sinners. He invited notorious tax collectors to be his disciples. He treated non-Jewish persons as people of equal value in God's sight. He welcomed children who were often ignored and disregarded. He is first revealed at his birth to the poor, not the rich. He is first discovered raised from the dead by women, not by men. Jesus, the list could go on and on. Jesus welcomed all. He wanted everyone to follow him. On the morning that he is raised from the dead and appears to his disciples, I want us to just think about, in this brief exchange with Mary, the welcome of Jesus, the acceptance of Jesus in the couple of words that he speaks to her. The first word that he speaks to her is her name, Mary. In a moment that's absolutely stunning, absolutely hair-raising. Why? Because she's in the open air. This is a tomb. This is a moment of mourning. This is a moment of the most severe grief. Her teacher, her friend has died. And perhaps with that death, all the hopes of her and so many that were pinned on him. This is the moment of the most intense grief. And it turns around when Jesus says her name. Think of that moment. Try to put yourself in her shoes as best you can. And by the way, is this not the shepherd speaking the name of a sheep? This is the shepherd who knows each one of our names, who knows everything about us, who knows when we're grieving, when we're hurting, when whatever's going on. He knows everything about us. And in this moment, he sees and knows Mary. He understands her pain and he knows her name and he says it. We read of God in the Old Testament, and now in the New Testament, Jesus, God in the flesh, displays this quality of knowing each of us personally and knowing each of us well. So the Messiah not only welcomes all, but he knows us. He knows us personally. The second word that Jesus speaks to Mary in this brief exchange is so interesting to me that he says it this way. Again, perhaps it shouldn't come as a surprise because he said things like this before, but he says to her, Mary, do not hold on to me. And there's a note of sadness in that. In other words, I'm not going to be here forever. I'm ascending to to be with my Father. I'm raised from the dead, but don't hold on to me. I'm yet going to the Father. Go and tell my brothers, however, that I'm ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and to your God. Did you catch that? Jesus says, my Father and your Father, my God and your God, as if they're brother and sister or something like that, as if they're part of the same family, as if they have the same privileges or rights with the Father. And they do. Now, Jesus, earlier in John's gospel, said he regarded his disciples as friends. The Apostle Paul later would say that Jesus is the firstborn among many brothers and sisters, and used kind of family language, that we are adopted as sons and daughters of God by faith in Christ. So it makes sense, it lines up then in this moment that Jesus would say to her, my God and yours, my Father and yours. If ever there was a moment for Jesus to distinguish himself, to set himself apart, you know, this is it. He's risen from the dead, and to be sure, he is set apart. He is the firstborn. He sits at the right hand of God. Every knee shall bow to him, every tongue confess. But because he was raised from the dead, so will we be raised from the dead through faith in him. And included in this great family. We are included, yes, in Christ, in his resurrection, in his family, in his life. Thanks be to God for that. This is the joy of Easter. He says it to Mary, my God and yours, my Father and yours. Once more, one final thought then. Jesus including, welcoming, not only to him or to just kind of earthly friendship with him, but to a place in God's eternal family, those who would follow him. And who is that invitation for? It's for all. It's for everyone, regardless of your past. Mary Magdalene, who he spoke to that day, is known in Christian tradition as someone who had a very kind of checkered past, and yet Jesus invited her and welcomed her as his disciple. There was a man, Zacchaeus, a tax collector, who climbed a tree, remember, to see Jesus. And Jesus said, Zacchaeus, come down. I want to eat at your house. I want you to be with me. I want to know you. There was a woman at the well, and Jesus knew everything about her past, and yet invited her to faith in him. Jesus knows you and me. He knows our past, he knows our present struggles, and yet he invites us in. This is the great welcome, and by faith, we share the victory over sin and death that he secured for us. Now consider all that, and we're rich today, church. You know Christ, you're a part of this family. Consider the embarrassment of riches that are ours in Christ. Consider the joy that is ours in Christ, to be a part of this family, to be welcomed and known by him, to be counted in and in forever, and to look forward to a raised body and an eternal life with God that he paved the way for. This is the great hope and joy of this day. Thanks be to God for that. Amen.
All are welcome to join Zanesville Neighborhood Church at our new location, the Trinity Presbyterian Campus on Military Road in Zanesville. Join us for worship every Sunday at 10 as we seek to love God, love neighbors, and make disciples together.